everyone, welcome to the Third Culture Kid virtual online forum where our conversations of TCK and faith come together. This is a place for people to share their own stories and learn from others. It's a place people can safely explore the effects, benefits, and purpose with cross-cultural upbringings. We also want to challenge TCKs to think deeper in how their cross-cultural component of their lives is tied to their faith. This podcast is brought to you by Crew, a caring community passionate about connecting people to Jesus Christ. In this specific podcast, we are going to talk about the concept of hidden immigrant and what is a hidden immigrant. A hidden immigrant, they look alike, but they think different. All TCKs are hidden immigrants when they go back to their passport culture, but some are hidden immigrants in both their host culture and their passport culture. So I'll define a couple terms really quick so you guys know. Passport culture is where your parents are from / where your passport is. And then host culture is where you live that technically wasn't your home. So for example, for me, my host culture was the Philippines because I lived there from ages 2 to 11. But my passport culture is America because, you know, my parents are American. I want to start with everyone introducing themselves. So the first thing is, if you could say your name and what makes you a third culture kid, and then also answer the question, what is the funniest situation you have been in due to cross-cultural misunderstanding?
All right, I'll start. Hi, I'm David. I'm born in Argentina, Buenos Aires, raised in the U.S. in Mount Brockton, Massachusetts, Arizona, Buenos Aires, Argentina, and Bolivia. My parents are Bolivian, so pretty much all over the place. Now, in regards to the funny situations, I think there's an ongoing situation probably on a monthly basis when I meet new people and they'll ask me, what part of Mexico is Argentina from? And it's a little bit of an awkward moment of silence until we just take a breath and then tell them, it's actually in South America. It's a little bit further south than Mexico. That's about it. I don't show maps because I'm not good with phones.
I'll go next. My name is Dana. My family is from the U.S. I lived in Sweden in Northern Europe from the age of 2 to age 19. And a funny cross-cultural situation that I've run into, kind of like David, is here in the States where people will sometimes ask me where I'm from. Because I grew up overseas, I had the opportunity to learn several languages, both Swedish and Spanish. So my Spanish accent doesn't sound like an American speaking Spanish. Many people that I work with here in the U.S. will try to guess where I'm from, and they usually get it wrong. But they think I speak it really well, but they still can't figure out where I'm from.
Hi, I'm Luke Birch. I'm from Kennesaw State University in Marietta, Georgia. The thing that makes me a third culture kid is that I lived in Russia for 11 years. The funny cultural misunderstanding is that I've been called a communist a couple of times. Russia's not communist anymore, so it's just kind of a joke that doesn't work.
So I'm Elizabeth, and like I said before, I lived in the Philippines from ages 2 to 11, and that's what makes me a third culture kid. And then currently, I actually live in Arizona. A funny cross-cultural thing is, even nowadays, I will not get like jokes at all. I remember when I first moved here, people would always make comments and words. I'm like, I have no idea what they meant. And I learned that basically, if I didn't know what the word meant or what the joke meant, just not to ask, because usually it was something inappropriate. But I felt so bad for my parents, though, when they first moved here, because I would ask them a whole bunch of questions about like, what does this word mean? So they heard a lot of cuss words, you know, the first week, because I just didn't know. Okay, so the first question I'm going to ask that we're going to discuss is, was it hard living in cultures, both your passport and host culture, where you may have looked like everyone else, but yet really weren't?
So for me, it's always been a matter of bullying in all three countries. It didn't really matter because I don't know if this is acceptable, but I'm a man of brown skin. So, I don't look from any country in particular. People will try to guess, like it happened with Dana earlier. They'll guess where I'm from. And then when it turns out that I'm living in Argentina, but I was living in Bolivia prior, there's a cultural clash of dislike. They're almost like enemy cultures for political and military reasons. So there's a deep and profound hatred between both countries. So I'll be bullied if I go to one place. I'll be bullied if I go to another place just because I lived there. And coming to America, from the skin perspective, I was multiple times racially profiled, mainly because I guess I look like an Arab. And even at Atlanta Airport, I got stopped and got pinned against the wall because I looked like a suspect down on the fly list. So there's a lot of profiling, but I do know that people do it more for the safety of our country. So I don't really mind it. It's mostly about the bullying portion of it. And then once you get accustomed to it, everything gets a lot easier. And God has been very good to provide people to contain me emotionally and to be able to help me push through that or overcome it, per se.
Sorry you had to have that happen.
I get to share it with other people and then get to understand other people as a result of it.
Mm-hmm. I think for me, I had an advantage in a lot of ways in that I look and sound a lot alike both my passport culture and my host culture. I really didn't stand out that much in a lot of ways, looked and sounded and could easily melt into the culture in many respects in both countries, especially early on. But even now, so many years after coming back to the U.S., in some respects, it's harder for me with the American culture, just because I've been exposed to many cultures and other ways of thinking and different belief systems. Found that a lot of my American friends just were not interested in where I was coming from or what my experience was growing up overseas. Didn't share the same interests in terms of travel and curiosity and that which is different. For me, that's been really hard. And even being back in the U.S. now more than 25 years, at times that's almost harder, even so many years later. But that's just an area where God has had to work in my heart in terms of just really understanding where even my passport culture comes from. I can easily relate, understand in a lot of ways where other people are coming from other cultures, but sometimes I'm not as accepting or as understanding from my own passport culture. Mm-hmm. And again, that's an area where God's really had to work on my heart, especially in the last several years.
I never really considered it to be hard living in Russia. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of that was due to the support that my parents gave us and the fact that they did shield us from some things, but I think it was also because that was kind of my childhood. And so it was what I was used to. Whereas when we moved to America, that was a lot harder because it was something that I wasn't used to. I had to learn that even though I did look like everybody else, I was different.
Yeah, I feel that a lot. That was really
hard. And I would echo that.
I think that was really hard for me too, coming back to America. It's like everyone expected me to be one way. And
right.
Nope, I'm not like that.
Yeah, I think it's just because if it would be the same the other way around, if I left America at an older age to go to Russia, I think the Russians would look at me a little bit differently just because they've been growing up in this culture and I haven't.
Question is, did you try to blend in the best you could in your host culture, or did you want people to know that you were different and why?
I don't know if this applies to a lot of other people. I understand that a lot of people see my personality as very unique, so it could be because of being a TCK or a third culture kid or not, but there's a lot of just desiring to connect with people, and it didn't mean trying to blend in. It's just more so trying to understand the other people, the other person's culture. Okay, so I'm in Bolivia now, but I was in Argentina where the world is viewed a certain way, in a very socialist way, disguised socialist way. And now we come to Bolivia, which is a different outview politically, socially, even in faith, there is a lot more Catholicism than there is Christianity. So their view of Jesus, even the Christians are heavily influenced in Bolivia from Catholicism. So how does that affect their lives? I couldn't grasp those questions, but they were innate to my situation. But God has always provided a pastor or a friend of my mom's, because I grew up with a single mother. And it was always a moment of, okay, there's peace because there's someone that God's going to put someone in my life. I didn't have to worry about trying to become someone else. I eventually did. This is because of his influence, but I never had to try to become someone else or like the other culture.
I think for me, at least in terms of during my childhood and whenever we would go back and forth between the United States and Sweden, I don't remember really ever thinking about trying to fit in or blend in or look like the culture around me. That was just not something that was on my radar at that time. Now as an adult, I've noticed that maybe a little bit more, that I adjust a little bit how I act or behave. I've noticed that primarily when I'm traveling internationally with Americans. If I'm just here in the US or I'm just overseas by myself or overseas with the nationals I'm with, I do change some of my behavior when I'm specifically traveling with Americans to another country. And it really depends on the group I'm traveling with. I've had a handful of experiences that have been really good, and I really don't make that change. The situations where I've noticed a change in my attitude or a change in my personal behavior is typically when I'm with a group of Americans that are very American, and it drives me nuts. Mm-hmm. And I tend to, kind of like what Dave was saying, do as the Romans do. You try it differently about how things are done or the way people behave in that culture or in that specific situation. I notice that I tend to revert much more back to my European way of doing things, especially in Europe, but even just traveling anywhere. I am not denying the part of me that is American, because that is part of who I am. That's part of my identity. But I don't want to be that obnoxious American, so to speak. So I try to tone that part down, but also just being very observant of the culture around me. And I think that's one thing that really frustrates me with my passport culture, is a lot of the Americans that I've traveled with aren't doing that same thing. And it really drives me nuts. It really frustrates me, and at times I want to just almost separate myself from the group. It's like, I don't know who these people are, because, you know, I want to more blend in with the culture that I'm in physically in as opposed to my American culture. One thing is our volume. Here in the U.S., when I'm around other Americans, we tend to speak very loudly, and very boisterously, very loudly. You know, within the borders of the United States, within the American context, that's not an issue because that's the way our culture is. I'm thinking of a trip we did to Germany a number of years ago, and we were working alongside a church in Germany. The rest of the team that I was traveling with were just being their normal selves, but out in public spaces, whether we were at a cafe or we were on the tram or on the train, they were speaking as loud as they always do. And the people around us were looking at us almost angry, or at least very irritated with us, because we were just so loud. And that's when you're in public and you're speaking with friends, you tend to be a little bit more hush-hush. Your volume is not so loud. To their credit, this is how we normally are. Within the American context, within the borders of the US, that's not an issue, but that made me feel pretty frustrated that they weren't as astute to the culture around them. And this was even after some of the folks that we were working with locally had given us some cultural tips of, here's some things you need to be thinking about when you're out in the community.
Well, I think it is a bit multifaceted, my response to this, because I think in different situations, it required a different approach, or it ended up being a different approach. Most of the time, I really didn't consider trying to blend in. If we were walking down the street of Russia, or we were traveling in the metro, which is their subway station, that was never really crossing our mind, because we were blending in. No one was really going to look at us differently because we weren't talking differently. But when we were in churches helping out, that's when I felt that I was different. And I think in some ways it was good, and I wanted people to know that I was different, so that I could have more of a conversation starter with people. Mm-hmm. And instead of them just thinking I'm some Russian kid off the street, I can now be like, hello, like I'm from America. Like, this is something that we can talk about, and we can get to know each other better after that. I would also echo the fact of like changing based on the situation, because when we were with other American missionaries, it did suddenly become obvious to everyone that we were American, because when you put more Americans with each other, the culture is going to become more American.
Yes.
What was it like moving from one culture where you blended into another?
I think it depends on the age and the circumstances. So similar to what Luke said on the previous question, this particular answer, I believe, would be multifaceted, and it would be subject to the timeline of our lives. I've moved 29 times in between 3 or 4 countries. So when I was a child, there was a certain way to understand that I was going to get, again, bullied or criticized or made fun of, or teased or given nicknames, any of the above or all of the above for a certain reason. Not because they were mean, they just found something different, didn't know how to react to it, and I didn't know how to react to them. But then, for example, coming to the U.S. in 2008, it was so different. People looked at me and when they find out, oh, you're from Argentina, and they find there's a place with penguins. Obviously, at age 21, people are like, oh my goodness, penguins. And it was it's kind of a glorious moment of saying, oh, yes, we have penguins. And we can just find a connection between what they like about the world around them or outside of the U.S., what my country has to offer. So I guess it's different with each portion of it. Sometimes it's just an instant click. I'm like, okay, they want to know more. And sometimes it's just, well, you're here now, so this is our culture. In the end, I would always just go to bed, get on my knees and pray. This was a very rough day for an introvert like me. Like, God, please help me. I can't do this anymore. And it was night or day in and day out. I was always having the same prayer until things started to settle and God just provided enough peace that we could get through it. And then it was great afterwards. But yes, the culture shock is real.
Mm-hmm. And what's different for me compared to David's story is that while we did move back and forth between cultures growing up, my parents were really intentional about trying to create some stability in that disruption of life or in the disruption of cultures. So we really only had 2 locations that we moved between. It was our American home, which was where our sending church was located, our home, which was overseas in Sweden. If my parents had to travel to raise support to help cover our expenses when living overseas or raise the funds so that we could continue to be living overseas, and it required traveling out of town or out of state, my dad would do that by himself. So again, just having created some of that normalcy and stability for us kids. And they really created a sense of adventure and fun, a bit of anticipation whenever there was going to be that change. Looking back, it was a really good experience. And I don't think any of us kids really had a difficult time adjusting back and forth, but that was a lot of work on the front end for my parents and some of the things that they were really intentionally doing in planning and prepping us kids for that. Some decisions, probably some really hard decisions that they had to make compared to what a lot of our other friends were doing that were raising a family overseas.
So I would say that it wasn't difficult necessarily at first, because when we first moved back, we were hosted by a church here in Georgia. And they allowed us to go to a Christian school. So at that point, being a missionary kid, that was kind of like I was being put on a pedestal. And so a lot of people really liked me and they wanted to be around me. And for some reason, they thought that I was the best Christian.
Just because I watched VeggieTales doesn't mean that like I'm suddenly like the king of knowing the Bible.
But I think like once I started public school in 6th grade was when it really became the hardship of the culture in that way, because that was when I actually entered the secular culture of America, where people aren't very friendly. So I had to learn how to adapt.
I also got bullied some too. Like, you know, when you come back and you look like everyone else, like people expect you to like be like everyone else.
Right.
So it's really hard. Because I didn't start going to public school until I was in 7th grade. So. Mm-hmm.
And I think also middle school is a time when people are figuring themselves out too. So if they can make themselves feel better by finding someone who they think is less than them, then they're going to take advantage of that.
Yeah, I think sometimes even today, and I'm sure some other people have experienced that too, when people hear I'm a missionary kid, they're like, oh, you must be so much more holy.
Oh my goodness.
It's like a perfect life. You were like a goody two shoes when you were a kid. And I'm like, I'm literally just a human being.
Right.
Please treat me like a human being.
So. And I think my experience was a little bit different. And the experience of my siblings were a little bit different in that we did go both to Christian school and public school, yeah. But we did both in Christian school and public school here in the U.S., but overseas. And so we were exposed to both cultures at a very young age. And that switch between Christian and public school happened at different ages for each of us four kids. I'm the oldest of four, and there's a 7-year difference between me and my youngest sibling. So as we were moving back and forth between cultures and just what the school, what availability of schools were, that switched happened at different times for different ones of us. And so I think that gave us a little bit of a different experience in terms of exposure to different cultures in both a private Christian school, but also a public school, and also the school system in the U.S. and overseas that, again, are very different. And I think I was exposed to, especially in the public school overseas, was experienced to things that my brother and sister that went to public high school here in the U.S. didn't experience.
I do want to ask one more question. We kind of talked a little bit about culture shock and blending in and different things like that. Just out of curiosity for you guys, how did your faith play into this idea of culture shock and identity?
I've always had a strong family of either Baptist, non-denominational. We've been all over the place, all over the spectrum in terms of Christianity. We learned a lot of things about our faith, but for me, until I was more of an adult, I always had this feeling-based faith. It wasn't what I like to call a faith-based faith. Facts don't care about my feelings, and I would always go about whatever I felt wanted to feel from the Holy Spirit, but I just wanted to put some sort of ideal situation where the Holy Spirit comes and comforts me, and it's all about me. And that was actually, at times, detrimental to adapting to a different culture, whether it's passport or host. It was very difficult because I would feel disappointed time and time again because I really didn't understand what faith truly was. As I grew up, as I grew older, then I could start realizing that the Holy Spirit's already been given to me. I already have, all I have to do is just receive what God has to give me. This is a lot different as I grew up. But the beginning, the first years was very traumatic because I had this concept of the Holy Spirit that was incorrect. I had parents that taught me the correct way to understand the Holy Spirit, but I wanted it to be according to the Gospel of David. So that's kind of how I saw it. It's different from when I was a kid to when I was a grown-up.
Okay, so for Dana, I love you.
I grew up in the church, and not only is that the wider culture in both of those countries very different, but even the church culture was very different in both countries. And when I think about my experience as a Christian growing up overseas, yeah, we went to church. A lot of my friends, at least my closer friends, went to church. You know, looking back and seeing where they are today, a lot of them have actually walked away from their faith. And even in high school, a lot of them, they were just going through the motions, but not really living out their faith. And while we do see some of that, I think here in the U.S. as well, it was different. You really didn't talk about your faith or your beliefs either. And some of that is just the wider culture.
Yeah.
It's not something that you just discuss even with your friends. You would, you know, go to Bible studies and that's where you would talk about the Bible and your faith. But just, you just don't meet up at a cafe and share your faith with others. Like, it's more common here in the U.S., and so for me, doing that, coming back to the U.S., you know, just talking more openly about my faith, even though I had a faith and I had made that decision on my own, it was just not something that I necessarily did. Mm-hmm. Evangelism was super scary, and I had a very specific way of thinking that in my mind that had to look like, and I realized that that's not at all how it has to be. There's different ways of doing it, and we're all uniquely wired differently.
Yeah.
The church culture here in the U.S. is definitely different, and I've had to make some adjustments to kind of how I see the world. And again, yeah, that's something that the Lord's really had to work on in my life, just in some of those cultural differences, especially some of my struggles with my passport culture, the American culture, that even today, you know, some things I really wrestle with it, kind of like what I mentioned before about when I travel overseas with Americans that don't seem to be as astute about some of the differences and how they come across in other countries. It may not necessarily be bad things, but it just things that for me and the Lord's really had to work on my life.
In some ways, there are like certain good things about it, though, like being able to understand faith through different cultures' eyes. Like for me, I get to hang out with a lot of international students, and I know they have taught me a lot of things about my faith that maybe I wouldn't have really thought about coming from like my perspective. And so I think that's the advantage of meeting people that Christians from different countries is they see the Bible like in different ways. And it's like, sometimes I'm like, so this is how it, like the Bible, what the Bible teaches, this is what this passage means. But sometimes that's not really the case. It's good to have that openness and that cultural perspective of the Bible, because things don't always seem as they appear, you know?
Mm-hmm. Kind of echo what you said, Elizabeth. It has helped me out in a lot of ways with what I do in ministry now. While I work as a nurse full-time during the day, I also have the opportunity in some of my free time to spend time with students at the University of South Florida here in Tampa. And ever since I've come back to the U.S., I tend to gravitate towards internationals or Americans that grew up overseas. I feel like I can connect with them or relate to them better. And having that cross-cultural exposure, I think definitely has helped me think about faith differently. And what does it look like to be a Christian or to consider Christianity in different cultures? What does that look like to be part of a church in different countries? It may actually look very different than the American church. And as I'm connecting with students on campus, what does that look like? And how do we help them understand what church or Christianity looks like in their home cultures when we send them back?
Yeah. How about for you, Luke?
So when I was living in Russia, I really didn't have an opportunity to have my faith tested, I would say. Mm-hmm. I think my faith was really reliant on my parents and what they were doing as missionaries. But when I got back to America and experienced some of the really hard things that I had to go through, and I mean, they're things that I wouldn't wish on anyone. But I still count it as a positive because it kind of tore me away from being in the mindset of, oh, my parents define my faith. Yeah. I was being forced to learn on my own what it was like to rely on God and not to rely on my parents relying on God, for me, myself, to rely on that. So I think my faith did grow from that, even though it was a really big culture shock and a really trying circumstance.
Yeah. That's how I felt too. A lot of times I feel like my experience was hard, but at the same time, if I hadn't had that culture shock experience with like the bullying and the making fun of, I would not be the person I am today. Actually, I know I wouldn't be the person I am today, and I wouldn't be able to have the opportunities to interact and connect with the type of people that I'm able to connect with now. So it's like in the moments, you're like, oh my gosh, why is this happening? God,
right, yeah.
Like for me, I was like sitting in my closet and crying because I was so upset. But then like as I've gotten older, I've looked back and I'm like, God, I'm so, so grateful for that time. But yeah, anyways, thank you guys so much for sharing. I really enjoyed hearing everyone's perspective. TCKVOF is now on 10 podcast platforms. If you want to stay connected to us and ask us a question, or have a topic you would like to discuss in the future, you can click the message below on Anchor to leave us a voice message. Thank you again for listening to TCKVOF, where our conversations of TCK and faith come together. Hope you have a great rest of the week, everyone.